This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go, Hour 2, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have a big guest show today, CY at 4:20, Mark Schlereth talking NFL at 4:40, and the Eric Kendrick Show here on The Fan coming up at 5 o'clock in the nation. In between now and then, a lot of sports coming to you, including Zach Wolchuk's NFL news today. And here's Wolchuk.
Yeah, we'll get to the Monday night football games here in just a moment. A lot of history was made, but some updates on this Giants-Cowboys Thursday night matchup. Dan Duggan, who I believe is going to be on with KMC tomorrow, said it's not looking good for cornerbacks Drew Phillips or cornerback Adoree Jackson, both with calf injuries for the Giants for Thursday. Coach Daboll said he doesn't think either will go on IR. He hopes cornerback Nick McLeod, who has missed the past two games with a knee injury, can return. So maybe that would be a boost for them. But two corners looking like they're probably not going to be able to go for the Giants on Thursday night. It could be a big loss.
If they get McLeod back, that'll help because they don't want to play Flock. He's the one that's the liability there. Banks is pretty good. Flock plays opposite. The last couple of games they've had to play with him, and it hasn't worked out particularly well. Phillips is their nickel.
The Kentucky kid, right?
Right.
Shorter player,
right.
But moves pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, they struggle in the secondary, but their pass rush is good, and their inside. They also bring blitzes, too. I know we'll get into that tomorrow, I think. We got Giants defense tomorrow.
We got defense nice. Tomorrow, offense yeah. today at 3:40.
Right. So, but yeah, cool. that would be, if they get McLeod back, that would clearly help them because he was their starter.
Well, Malik Nabers and Trayvon Diggs, if you remember in the offseason, they were kind of going back and forth via social media. So now they're getting to play each other for the first time. And Malik Nabers was asked about it at his locker today. He said, it is what it is. I don't really want to talk about it now. It's game time. So this is probably the matchup to circle. Diggs versus Nabers. He has been the offense. He's carrying everything on his shoulders for them. And this is a big test for Trayvon Diggs.
Dude, this is a no-brainer. This is your matchup. This is you're the traveling. Shadow guy. Yeah, you're traveling, right?
Well,
you're the big money corner. You got a rookie on the other side. You don't have Bland on the other side. This is where Diggs needs to say, yeah, give me the assignment.
Absolutely. But this is where it also gets into a little bit of some problems for you if you travel Diggs, that you do have a rookie on the other side. When he travels, that changes the rookie's assignments. So every time that, say, Nabers starts on the left side, motions to the right side, and you travel, that makes everybody in the secondary's assignments different because of the travel. So okay. That's
a little football logic there.
That's why a lot of
that is logical. I don't like to hear this logic, but it is logical.
But it's just for a rookie player that you think about. He doesn't have a lot of experience. Now, I'm not saying you can't, that teams don't travel. I don't know. Like I say, the kid's a smart kid, but what kind of extra pressure might you put on him? I mean, you're thinking about, you know, this guy is going to move around. He's not going to stay in one spot.
Yeah.
And so
it's a lot of on the fly adjusting.
The minute he crosses the center of the defense, now everybody in the secondary's assignments change. And so that's where you run into a little problems that way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you had Gilmore over there, a veteran guy, you're all right. You know, you're
or even just healthy them. Bland.
Healthy Bland would be fine.
Healthy
yeah.
Bland. Well, healthy Bland, you would probably play it straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind. It'd be fine either way.
Yep.
You would be. Now, big loss for the Saints. Their center, Eric McCoy, who left their loss against the Eagles in
the
first quarter.
He's one of their best offensive linemen they have.
No question. Texas A&M zone, groin injury. He's expected to require surgery. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. That is a huge loss for the Saints.
There go the Saints.
Yeah, that's big time.
Well, I think that because he went out pretty early in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, first quarter.
And so, I think that was a huge difference in the game. Jalen Carter had probably the game of his career.
They run the ball really, really well because of him. You know, that's one of the things. I mean, we saw them, the way they dominate, but he's the one reason he gets up on your second level guys and causes problems.
Man, Jaden Daniels was brilliant last night. I don't know that we really need this doubleheader Monday night football deal. I mean, look, if both games end up being awesome, then maybe I'd think differently. The second game was good. Like, Bengals in Washington was fun, but the first game was an absolute blowout. Josh Allen and the Bills look absolutely incredible. We'll get to them in a second.
I don't like how it's happening at the same time.
I don't either.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, I do have multiple TVs up, but I just give me back to back or something like that,
yeah,
bro.
Layer
them.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. Is there a reason? I'm sorry, I'm late to the party here. Is there a reason why the league did this? Is this because of the 17 game schedule? Is this they couldn't get everybody on prime time or something? I don't know. Why would they have?
Dang it!
I'm really not sure.
Are they just trying to give? Are they just trying to give sponsors more money or more opportunity?
Well, usually this is something they do in week one.
Yeah, so it is usually something they do in week one. Now, last year they did it. If you remember, it was Tommy DeVito and the Giants. Was it against the Dolphins, or it was like Dolphins Packers was going on, or Titans Packers,
and then it was. No, Titans, Dolphins, Packers, Giants.
Giants, that's what it was. Got the four teams, messed up the order. But so they're doing this multiple weeks this year, too. So it's the result of an 11-year media rights agreement the NFL finalized in March. So
there
it's
you
a
go.
Media deal trying there to get everybody happy with the games.
So it's trying to get an Amazon in on it.
Yeah.
It's creating a little bit of value for them.
And so ESPN and ABC go ahead and get their cut as well.
Yeah, there you go.
It's, so they're just trying to make everybody happy that they've got deals with. But Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23 for 254 yards is what he finished with. He had a 91.3 completion percentage. That sets an NFL rookie record previously held by Dak Prescott.
They haven't punted for two games.
No, they have not. And let's get to the haven't punted in two games. So we played.
Yeah, let's get to the haven't punted in two games.
Last week, Cam Taylor Britt, the cornerback.
Yes.
Yeah, he said college offense, eh?
He did. He called them out on the college offense. Now, 2 weeks ago, talked the trash. And said Xavier Worthy, hey, you basically can run straight, and he had the pick of the season. And they almost got the win. They played well. Nobody said anything, right? Well, this week, says they got a college offense. He's asked post-game, you regret saying these things.
Do you regret what you said, and can you talk us through what happened from a defensive standpoint tonight?
No, ma'am, I do not regret it. And I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was just made bigger than what it was. Yes, I can eat my words, most definitely. We did take a hail today. But as a team, it was sort of a college offense, very quick, quick throws. He's very athletic in his thin plays. And that's how the game went, man. They stuck to their plan, and yeah, that's how it went.
So here comes the coach, Zach Taylor. I didn't hear anything from Zach Taylor 2 weeks ago when he did this. But last night, he wasn't happy.
Have an issue with that? Do you feel like those are?
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing over there. I've known Cliff a long time. I knew paired with that quarterback, this was going to be a very dangerous offense to play against, and they've proven that so.
And it is. They have scored on every drive in back-to-back games, excluding a kneel down. They had 8 drives Monday, 5 touchdowns, a field goal, and 2 ending in kneel downs at the end of each half. In week 2 against the Giants, they had 7 field goals and a kneel down to end the half. So basically 100% scoring rate, which is extremely rare. There's been 10 games since 2000 where a team scored on every drive excluding kneel downs. That's over a 1 in 1,300 chance. The Commanders did this twice in a row now, making this a 1 in 1.7 million feet, according to CBS Sports.
Wow, dude.
How crazy is this, what they've done 2 weeks in a row now?
That is crazy. That is crazy.
And then the Bengals on the other side of bad history. So they ended a streak of 126 games where the team in which... From 1920, the Bengals came along to end this streak. They scored 31 points. The Bengals, okay, hold on, I got to find this. This
they
is
didn't
not
punt,
good.
Right? Did they?
Okay,
punt?
So they didn't punt at all. Zero punts, yeah. Zero turnovers.
Zero turnovers. Yeah.
Teams before them were undefeated, 126-0. Yeah. They are now the only loss in that to have 31 points or more, zero punts, zero turnovers. Bad 0-3.
They weren't even close. They didn't even have it stolen from them late.
They couldn't get a stop. Yeah. I mean, their defense was just getting shredded the entire game. Jaden Daniels was absolutely unbelievable. Cliff was in his bag. And look, hey, 3 weeks, maybe the NFL figures him out. But last night it looked scary. And I was thinking it from Cowboy lenses. Like, how the hell are they going to stop this?
Not if that kid drops back and it's all covered and he takes off running. You know, and Dawson's right. The only way you kind of stop him if he gets banged up. You know, that because he I watched him do it for 2 years at LSU. He carried that team last year.
He did.
At LSU. You know, that team was awful on defense. And what did he do? Drop back, found receivers, found neighbors, you know, made plays that way. But when it broke down, his ability to run is just as good as the guy you played last week in Baltimore.
I mean, I think Zach Ertz was something last night that was interesting, you know, but their offense is simple. You know, did the play that we call work, is it easy for you with zero risk? Throw it. If not, go take 6 to 8 yards. I mean, he's just, it's different, you know, when you have just a little bit of stability in front of him with an offensive line, good enough weapons.
Yep.
And somehow the defense has recovered in Washington.
Well, maybe you say you look at what maybe Dan's done. They had a lot of draft picks. You know, they gave away. I mean, that team was a shell of itself on defense last year.
They gave up their edges.
Yeah.
They kept the defensive tackles.
They kept the defensive tackles and just went around. And
Bobby Wagner, Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah, they built it through signing guys off the street and stuff. So, or free agents. I shouldn't say off the street. They were free agents. You know, opportunity.
Well, more bad news for the Bengals. Their offensive tackle, Trent Brown, he's out
patellar
for the
season. Tendon, right?
Yeah, torn patellar tendon. I feel like the Bengals are just this team where they're trying, man, to figure out this offensive line, and it's just not working for them. I mean, they tried it with Lyle Collins, didn't end up working out. Mm-hmm. They bring in Trent Brown. They give him a big money deal. Now he's hurt. They did it with the Chiefs' former tackle as well, who went over there and ended up not playing well for them. So it's just one of the and Mims didn't look good. Their first round pick played right tackle. He was getting beat pretty bad. John Baptiste got him for a big time sack in that game. So we'll see what happens with the Bengals moving forward. I mean, I'm still a believer in Joe Burrow, but he did miss some throws last night. Overall stat line was good for him, but there were some plays he probably wants back. Seems like Ja'Marr Chase is starting to find a rhythm, but defensively, they're in a world of problems. And at 0-3, I mean, no team's ever won the Super Bowl when you start 0-3. So those dreams probably dead, you would assume.
But haven't the Bengals made the Super Bowl after an 0-3 start?
0-2.
0-2 start.
Yeah, 0-2 okay. start. So Burrow started 0-2 four out of his 5 years, but he always won in week 3, which is why I told Eric yesterday, I'm like, I think you're good.
Yeah.
Nope, didn't happen with Washington.
Nope, definitely didn't.
When Cincinnati was really good, their defense was sneaky good, right? Didn't get a lot of credit, but now it's just kind of been picked apart.
Yeah, they would force some turnovers. And it's weird because they played well against Kansas City the week before.
Yeah.
And then they just could not get a stop to save their life.
They've got Kansas City kind of figured out how to play them. Yeah.
Well, the Bills and nobody circles the wagons.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. They just destroyed. Absolutely destroyed.
My guy Doug Peterson might be in some trouble.
Yeah. Yes.
Hottest seat in the NFL.
He's Dunsky.
He's got to be.
Hotter than this one?
And
yeah, Trevor Lawrence is
are you thinking regressing? About Trevor Lawrence right now?
Here the front office knows that we didn't give you much, you know, and he's going to be fired at the end of the year.
Or his contract's up. We're just going to let him sit in his office for a week and then we ask you to leave.
I got some quotes in Football's Finest from the owner. Of the Jags.
Okay.
He's hilarious.
Con?
Yeah. He's got a great mustache, that guy.
Legendary.
Really good.
Yeah.
But I saw the Bills, they ended up benching Keon Coleman, who did catch his first career touchdown.
Just late to meetings.
Yeah. Sean McDermott. Accountability here, right? Accountability is a word that's come up a lot with the Cowboys over 3 games.
Kinda. Coughlin would have probably released him.
Just cut him straight up. Yeah, because he wasn't 5 minutes early. So
that's
McDermott
the truth
said
of that
after the game.
There.
We sat Keon for the first quarter. It'll be a learning opportunity for him, and really it was an issue that dealt with him being on time, and he knows that he's got to be accountable to his teammates. We addressed it, we support him, and we move forward. Caught a 24-yard touchdown on the first possession that he was back in the second quarter. They're looking fantastic. Josh Allen's the MVP favorite right now, and did he take a shot at Stephon Diggs after the game? He said, quote, "It's a fun and wonderful thing. When you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns." Mm.
Oh, yeah. Not so subtle at all, Stephon.
Not subtle. So maybe Josh Allen feeling a little bit relieved, playing a little free without Stephon Diggs.
He's playing out of this world football.
I mean, that's superhuman football, what he's doing.
I think Brady might be a guy you need to look at as one of these coach dudes.
Maybe.
Yeah, because he's helped things.
Hot name 5 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, he won a national championship at LSU. He was one. Yeah. He was the guy calling the plays.
Yes.
But then he went to Carolina, right? And he was just terrible as like their OC.
Yeah, with Matt Rhule.
With Matt Rhule, right? Yeah,
it was a disaster. But he's bringing him back. I mean, now that they're
9-1 since he started taking over the play calling.
Wow,
gosh.
Yeah, Josh Allen looks really, really awesome. And I mean, that I
they
see.
They overturned a lot this offseason.
Yeah.
A lot of questions with that team.
Tons of questions. Everybody was expecting this to be a down year in Buffalo for sure. But, I mean, Josh Allen is, it's like, give me whatever at the skill positions and I'll make it work. He is outside of Mahomes, he's the next guy. And their offense, they're going 80% motion. Oof. So they're fourth in the sport. Then it's the Niners, Dolphins, Packers number one. So, I mean, those are offenses
you wouldn't use it.
Those are offenses you want to be like, dude. And I can't, for the life of me, understand why the Cowboys aren't doing it.
It's been that way for the last how many years? Like handful of years. Who are the best offenses? Are they using motion? Yes, they are. I don't understand why you would just ignore that in your offense. But, hey, that's what we deal
with.
We
don't steal plays around here, okay?
We're not play stealing.
Yeah, Bill's using 20% more motion to this point than they did last year.
Wow. Last thing here, NFL News of the Day, Dan Campbell. We had the story last week. Eric gave it to us where he was putting his house up for sale. Well, his home address was publicly leaked on social media. It was one of his daughter's classmates.
Oh.
Got ticked off watching the NFC Championship game, posted on Snapchat, dumb bleep trying to go for it, and then put his
no
address.
No way.
Yeah. So
that's an unfriending,
still,
right?
Yeah, probably. Absolutely. So now you got people that were just showing up to his house. Daughter was at the house. Boyfriend goes outside, ends up getting in his vehicle, is flashing headlights at anyone who was approaching the house, and that caused him to like get scared and leave, like, oh my gosh, something's going to happen here. So eventually, there was the authorities got involved, they found the kid, but yeah, I mean, that's the bummer of, I guess, hey, people in your school, they know where you live.
Mm. Gosh, dude.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
Yep, thank you.
Matchups to watch in week four against the Giants. We have the Cowboys news coming up next right here. The G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. A segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Jerry Jones was on The Fan this morning. On fans believing he is the biggest issue with the franchise right now, he says that's very fair. How could you think otherwise? I accept that completely. Said they're in a little bit of a soft spot. Almost talked about, you know, rostering as it's a cyclical, and right now they're in a down cycle, and they need to get it remedied. Also had similar comments about the roster as what he shared after Sunday's game here, saying, quote, I like where we are at all positions. So don't expect anything different, not in the medium term from Jerry Jones and the way this front office is constructed, and don't expect any big changes with the roster, and that does include not even Dalvin Cook here coming up for this week's game against the Giants quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's too early for them to really admit big-time mistakes in places. Even benching Zeke or making him inactive for Dalvin Cook is acknowledging what we've talked about all offseason as it pertains to Zeke. And they're like, no, we like, no, he was, I mean, he's comparing him with Stephen A. Smith. He's comparing him to Jim Brown. And so after 3 weeks to be like, yeah, we're going to go for another guy who everybody knows is washed up. You know, they're just not going to make that move yet. Everything, it's so early right now, but at some point he'll have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's either Dalvin Cook isn't any good, or he's not ready.
Oh, he's ready.
Or they're too stubborn.
Yeah, the ready part of it, I did check on that, and there's no setbacks or anything for him right now. If you're talking about conditioning and things like that, I just reached out and said, hey, and they're like, no, we're just kind of waiting to see what happens. I kind of feel like, though, that if we – okay, this is going to sound funny the way I'm going to say it, but if you knew that you can't run the ball, and you're all going to say, Dan brought us, we know we can't run the ball. But I'm just saying, until they look at it and say, hey, we've had plenty of opportunities to run the ball and we've shown we can't run the ball, I don't think they're going to do anything with Dalvin Cook until they get to that point. I think right now they're like, hey, we just haven't had the opportunity to run the ball. I know that everybody out there is going, well, yeah, Broadus, they can't, look at it. They can't run. And I'm telling you, I believe this is how they're thinking about it. You know, until they prove they absolutely can't run the ball, I do not see a Dalvin Cook elevation here.
I would like to believe that, hey, we started with a plan with Zeke. That didn't work. Now we're on to Dowdle.
Yeah.
and Lipke. And if that doesn't work, then we go Dalvin Cook. And if that doesn't work, we'll still have a week or two before the trade deadline.
See, that's, you know, and but let me ask you,
they're starting to talk about this team like though it's so bad that they're not going to have a chance at making the playoffs.
If you get to 2-5 by the bye, do you think that they're going to make any trades?
I wouldn't think so. No. Let's just take our medicine and get the best pick possible. It's not worth saving.
I don't mean to be like, you know, wet blanket guy there, but
no, it's a fair question.
If all of a sudden you look at the division in Philadelphia and say the Commanders are both, you know, the Commanders are 4-3 and Philadelphia's 5-2 and you're 2-5, do you go out and you think you still have a chance to win?
If you feel like you're pretty clearly out of the race, like those two teams are sitting there with like still a loss, you know, and they're multiple games ahead of you. No.
Are you saying they're 6-1?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Then I think that it's not worth making that move. But we saw them do this the year they traded for Amari Cooper. They were 3-4.
Yeah.
They trade for Amari leading into a Monday night game against Tennessee.
I tried to make it more severe. I tried to make it more 2-5-ish.
Right. Well, and then they ended up being 3-5 because they lost that first game to Marcus Mariota with Amari.
Sure.
And then they ended up going on a crazy run to go 10-6. They beat the Seahawks in the playoffs and lose to the Rams. So, I mean, they might look at that and say, hey, you know, maybe if there's a player to be made, maybe it's Amari Cooper again.
Yeah, you're going to need something to come around, though. Like, your defense is going to have to start playing. So you're like, you know what? Maybe we are a playmaker away offensively because we've gotten our defense figured out. But if your defense is going to be literally worst in the league, which it's been the last 2 weeks, lowest defensive success rate in all of football, the last 2 weeks, it's your defense, absolutely terrible, and your offense ain't much better. So unless something changes there where you feel like, okay, we can justify one player really could help swing things. But right now, you're so much more than a player at any position away.
And it's definitely not going to be a running back, because listening to Jerry today when he cut off Bobby, when Bobby was asking about Derrick Henry and how you said you couldn't pay for Derrick Henry, and he said, you're right. Stop right there. We couldn't afford Derrick Henry. But then he basically went on to say, which was the truth, they didn't want to allocate more money at that position. And that's really all I needed to hear. Just be honest with it.
I think Michael Gelkin wrote about that at the start of the offseason, like they're going budget at running back.
That's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just don't think you can go budget at running back and also not spend any draft picks to try to bring in somebody with some juice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're holding off on drafting a guy until you're ready to contend, and then you're like, okay, we're ready to contend, let's start the odometer on the running back right now in this season, I think that would be a good long-term strategy. If that's what they're thinking, would be the only thing that really makes sense as to why they would punt on bringing somebody in. Because I think they could have a balanced offense. And, like, not having a balanced offense because you don't have talent at running back, I think is making things significantly worse than they have to be. It's amazing how quickly things can turn in this league, though. It reminds me of 2010 when they had just made the playoffs and thought, wow, you know, that could have been our year. I think they had back-to-back wins against Philadelphia that year to end the season. And then the next year or in the next round to start the playoffs, they beat them again, and then they maybe lost to the Giants or the Vikings that year. But whatever the case, 2010, they're 1-7 all of a sudden. From playoff team to horrible, has it happened again? You know, that time around it was Wade Phillips, lame duck coach. Maybe, you know, now it's Mike McCarthy.
They quit on him.
Yeah.
That was it. That game in Green Bay. They
were 5-3 the second half of the season, which showed there was some ability in there.
Sure did.
And they made the right decision to cap Wade Phillips, and maybe it started some momentum. How about this? About the Jamie Foxx video? Jerry said he's a great friend. We have a lot of experience watching players, talking about games. It's kind of ironic that I think when that was supposed to have happened a few years back, but I don't recall it. It probably wasn't that out of the ordinary for Jerry to be talking about those kind of things.
Yeah, I can believe him that he has no recollection. I mean, geez, that could have been 5 years ago. I mean, it's not like we're even talking about it was last year. This is probably a while back.
Yeah.
So,
and even if you did remember it, it's one of those things where you're just like, I don't remember.
Don't want to remember, that's for sure.
Information is there, I just don't recall. That's the old Ronnie Reagan.
I could honestly say in all my years of scouting, I've never been in a room that's talked about that.
Really?
Yeah. Never been in a room.
Really?
Seriously.
This wasn't room situation.
People were, I'm not just saying Jerry, I'm just saying, and I was in a room with Jerry for 6 years. So, but I've never been in, I was in scouting
I guess he just didn't trust you enough.
Yeah, probably not.
Rob's like an old snitch.
I just
look like a liberal.
Yeah.
I saw the way he started whispering around with the tuna put his thing in his face.
Yeah.
Could it accidentally been something else he was talking about? I seen somebody try to throw Jerry some bail and saying, well, he was probably talking about a dig route.
I just don't know. I don't know
what an 8.5-inch dig route.
See, but I'm just saying, I've been in a war room for like meetings for 13 years, and I don't ever. There's things you've talked about, but not that.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember anybody ever talking about that.
He only saved that meetings. For his VIP guests.
I
really get
tower
a laugh
talk.
Out of them.
We've had. I've been up in that tower.
I've
been up in that tower before too, and I don't think we've talked
that's
about
Christie.
That.
That's reserved for Chris Christie.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
Chris is a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No. I'm just saying this because like I was watching film one day, and he walked by, and I was just sitting there watching film, and he stopped, and he came back. And he's like, Brian Broaddus, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm Governor doing grill. Thank you. He says, I just love your work. Thank you so much.
Oh, watches your content.
Yeah, he goes, I watch your content. You do a great job. And I'm like,
it's tremendous.
I'm going, well, thank you, sir. And he just, carry on. I'm like, okay.
Carry on.
You know, but no, that's, you said Chris Christie. It made me think of him real quick.
Yesterday, Dawson lobbed out the Felix Jones nominee.
Yeah, I was trying to guess of who the player could be. You know, what was it? It was a 5'10", 210-pound running back.
It's still on his mind. Who could this be?
Who was it?
What a hell of a guy.
Might not be a bad guess.
I mean, it's obvious the guy had been a Cowboy, right? I don't think you'd have that level of awareness on a college prospect that you were considering draft.
But he was a Razorback, you know? So he probably has been scouting him out for a while, perhaps.
He's in that locker room.
It was amazing. People were tweeting at me like, hey, bro, so people really thought I'm like, I didn't even answer. I didn't even know how to answer. I'm like,
we're
no.
Blown
I mean,
up
no.
on the text for the post game show too.
Yeah,
you were.
Yeah,
about like about Big Felix.
It was a couple people that were like, brought us. We heard that you're in the know on this. Who is it? Who are they talking about?
Could be Joe Randall.
I'm serious. There's a lot. I'm always honest when I talk about draft stuff.
Well,
never
the measurables
ever.
Well, for Felix are pretty close.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that you don't. They don't talk like that for real.
I just
it's good to hear that you've never heard that.
From my experience. From my experience.
That helps me out a little bit.
I'm not trying to protect anybody here because I told you the story about Parcells taking all his clothes off. I mean, that was traumatic. But
that yourself, man.
That was what I don't ever remember. There's a lot of things you talk about in rooms, but I don't ever remember that being one of them.
It's that locker room talk from the 2016 election cycle. I thought it was talking about the ladies. I didn't realize that locker room talk could, you know, come right back. You know, in a different category. But apparently it does.
Well, you know, white people.
And we're just yucking it up.
Much, much more progressive in the NFL these days.
Been a lot of crank talk this week between this one and the Puff Daddy story.
That's just so violent the way you said that.
That's enough.
Did you guys see Leonardo DiCaprio distancing himself from Diddy here? He says...
Isn't everybody?
The all-white party photos. He says they were not freak-offs.
Yeah.
DiCaprio would like you to know they were not freak-offs.
No, freak-offs are later. The white party is a start, and the freak-off is later. You get to leave if you want to. Because I don't believe Martha Stewart stayed around for the freak-off, bro.
Yeah, that would be a surprise.
That'd be wild.
You're just prospecting, like, who wants to stay for the freak-off?
Yeah.
Who's really getting loose?
I got Martha being, like,
a little handsy.
Team mom. She had orange slices for everybody afterwards and stuff.
She made the beds. Everything was all nice and laid out. It had little crafts next to it.
Yeah, I get it.
Some
cold rags for their necks.
Half time. You need to pick me up?
The thing with Cat Williams, he just, this is him, right? This is what Cat does. I mean,
Cat's
he comes
kind
of
called out all
of Cat said, Cat said it a long time ago. A lot of people have been saying it. It's been like under
but
there.
But he says he's got videos of people and stuff like that.
I don't think he said that. He better not
Beyonce?
Say that. He better not say that.
I do like the theory.
The FBI will come knocking on Cat Williams' door if he says, I got video evidence of anything. Yeah. I think he's saying Puffy has video evidence of a lot of things because there were hidden cameras in those darn rooms.
Yeah.
So they're saying there's like athletes, entertainers, politicians, all these people that could be possibly on film at Diddy's house during the freak-offs.
I'd have stuck around just for those Martha Stewart chocolate chip cookies, man. Fresh baked.
Walking around shiny as hell with all that baby oil on.
Yeah. Get a couple more
shiny
cookies, Martha.
I am deep in that rabbit hole in my algorithm, though. Like every other video is like another dude talking about something.
It's a lot.
Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brian, what's in store?
Yeah, let's talk about this Giants offense. It looks a lot different. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this. Tease, I said, this is a different looking Giants offense, and they're doing everything in their power to try and help their quarterback with the way that they're running the football and then the skill players that they have. I think everybody in the league is kind of taking notice of what Malik Nabers is and what he was able to accomplish, not only at LSU, but then here in the National Football League. When you look at the number of targets, the routes he runs, all these things are, top of the league when you start to talk about just not only receiver, rookie, but all just receivers with the way that he's playing. And the thing that makes him so unique is his ability to play at all levels. You can throw the ball to him quick. You can throw the ball to him intermediate on cross and stuff. And then you can go down the field with this guy. And Daniel Jones sometimes isn't very accurate.
Sometimes.
This guy makes Daniel Jones accurate with the way that he goes and gets the football.
Bad ball catcher.
Yeah.
He is a
bad ball catcher for sure. And so, he's the guy that you're definitely going to have to worry about. I checked with some folks before Krusty's Corner asking about the availability of Carson. Carson is legitimately a game time decision. So we'll see how Dallas plays that, with having to deal with Nabers. But they're also going to have to deal, I think, with Wandale Robinson. And what they do with Wandale Robinson is, as a wide receiver, he tends to line up in the backfield. He'll play in the slot. He'll play out wide. They'll throw him the ball on screens. So now they've got a guy with like Nabers that can kind of work in all levels. They got a guy like Wandale Robinson who can catch the ball very well, but he does it from different platforms. You can put him in the backfield, like I said, and throw the ball to him on the screen or throw him on a swing, and he's going to make things happen. He's a very good catcher of the football. He's very comfortable on third down when you throw it to him, making plays. So you'll have to deal with that. The third receiver I'd kind of be a little bit concerned about is Jalin Hyatt, from Tennessee, the second-year player from Tennessee, because he is a vertical player, and he's the guy that can run right by you. And we saw what happened with the Saints, with their Shahid and the vertical player that game. If they want to take a shot, it's going to be Jalin Hyatt's the one that's going to be the guy that's going to get the opportunity. So those are the three wide receivers that I would worry about. I'm not overly concerned about their tight ends, even though they use them all in the way that they play. But primarily, they're like underneath players or blockers. They're really not anything. In the past, Giants have had some tight ends that have been pretty good. But this crew is just kind of pretty standard for a roster. The offensive line, they brought in a bunch of different guys. They've tried for years to draft this offensive line, and it hasn't worked out for them. But the one guy that I think you kind of need to be a little concerned about is the center, John Michael Smits.
Don't tell me that.
John Michael Smits is a very athletic center. They use him in the pulling game. They use him in the second level stuff, screen stuff. He is the most athletic guy of the group that I felt like. But the guy you need to kind of take advantage of, I believe, is the first round pick, the left tackle, Andrew Thomas.
And Mike has eaten him up in previous matchups.
He has. And I'm interested to see how many of those tight ends they put over on that side to try and help him out here, or how many times that they chip with, say, Tyrone Tracy or somebody like that over there. But Andrew Thomas is the one guy that has the most problem, I think, with speed. And he has a bigger problem when people take him down inside on the pass rush. If you can get inside on this guy, I don't think he's quick enough to cut you off from getting to the quarterback. So left tackle Andrew Thomas that's the guy I think you need to go after. But be aware, like I say, of John Michael Smits, the center, because they will get him out in space. And the Cowboys have had some problems when they've gotten blockers out in space on him the last couple of weeks.
So he's figured it out now, because he was the draft crush 2 years ago, as you know, and he struggled a little bit as a rookie.
He did. He struggled a little bit as a rookie, but he looks a lot better than he has in the past.
Oh, crap.
Daniel Jones, there's still some issues with Daniel Jones at quarterback, but they're trying to help him. make him feel more comfortable against Cleveland. He got the ball out very quickly. They're not afraid to throw it into the flat or just underneath just to get it out of his hand. He still has a problem, though, when you watch him play. He'll throw to spots. And I don't think he always sees where the coverage is. Now, can you get him to throw the football? That's going to be the trick for the Cowboys this week. Can you make him have to be a passer in this game? Because if he has the ability to run and use the running game, then he's a lot better quarterback. But when he has to throw the ball a bunch, that's going to be a problem for him. And I mentioned the spots. We all remember where the Cowboys this summer and what they were doing in training camp with disguisings of the defense. You know, if they can get into a situation where it's pass rush and coverage, then maybe you can get Daniel Jones to throw you a ball or two. Just because he doesn't read coverage, I think, all that well. There are a couple different times where you're like, man, he just did not see that guy standing there. So if Mike Zimmer can get him into that situation where maybe fool him on some looks, maybe give him a cover two look and then drop that safety down into the hole, and he'll try and maybe throw the ball there to that spot, then you might get an interception out of him. I think the real big difference, this team lost Saquon Barkley, but this Devin Singletary, I didn't know much about him. I'd seen him play at Buffalo. I didn't remember much at Houston.
Yeah.
This kid's a legitimate player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling him a kid. He's really not a kid. But he is a legitimate player when you look at him and watch him. And they like to hand him the ball, and then the next thing you know, you're watching the tape, and they hand him the ball, and it's a 5-6 yard gain. He can make the first guy miss. You could toss it to him. You could throw it to him. They throw screens to him. And this guy's got some finish to him. He's got, like I say, the ability to make you miss. Be a tough guy to bring down.
Second best yak in the NFL at the running back position.
It's crazy how well he's played for them, but he
looks strong and fast. He's got the traits.
He's so quick, and that's something that they've struggled with Saquon Barkley, being healthy in a lot of these games against Dallas.
Yeah,
this guy looks legit.
You can tell they've orchestrated and worked on running, and now
trying.
He's benefiting. Do you feel like they're committed to running the ball more than in recent years?
I feel like they really are. But they're trying to help their line too with the pin and pull stuff, combination blocks. They're not asking their guys to block a lot of one on one. They're trying to kind of get some angled blocks and allow these guys to not have to deal with just holding on to blocks, because in the past that's got them in trouble with some holding calls and things like
How
that.
How physical are they?
Pretty physical group, because they're not the best. They're kind of a boxy group, and I mean boxy in a way of guys like John Runyon, kind of square. The center's the smallest guy, but they kind of got some size to their line. But when they get out in space, but this back, it takes advantage of kind of getting tucked in behind these linemen when they block, and then he makes some things happen. They ran the ball pretty decently from the film, looking at the Browns game.
They did.
I was surprised. But Daniel Jones will run the ball too. You're going to see some RPO stuff from him.
Yep.
They have design runs. I know last week we talked about with the Ravens quarterback there. There's design runs in this offense too. It's pull the tight end across, and then all of a sudden everybody's blocking down, tight end across, and now they're running just quarterback power going to the left. So,
at some point teams change from, hey, let's develop this quarterback in the pocket, let's keep him healthy, to everybody's playing for their jobs, and the quarterback's like, I'm playing for my job too. Can I run, please?
They were trying to get rid of him. They're not trying to preserve Daniel Jones.
No, they really don't. And so Singletary, Tyrone Tracy, he's a rookie. They picked him in the fifth round. I mean, they throw him the ball too. But Daniel Jones, like I say, they're trying to do everything in their power not to have to make him make a bunch of throws, but when he throws the football, Malik Nabers is more than ready to catch it. Wandell Robinson is more than ready to catch it too. And then, like I say, you have to be worried about the Jalen Hyatt on the vertical routes, because they saw Dallas give up one you know, and I have a feeling that we're going to see a couple deep shots against this secondary on Thursday.
Well, three games in a row against a running game that could gash you for $150. We'll see how much.
Well, the quarterback the runs too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get a running back and a quarterback that both can run. And
maybe so. I should go 225 then. My bad.
Yeah, I mean they're off a very, very poor tackling performance, and Singletary's the best back in the sport at forcing missed tackles.
Yeah.
So they're going to have their hands full.
It sounds like you described roughly 27 points against this Cowboys defense to me.
I think I was on DallasCowboys.com, I picked it, what did I say, 26-23 is what I picked.
Wow.
So I picked the Giants.
We will all have our predictions Thursday to kick off the show. Pregame will get underway at what, like in the 4:15 segment on Thursday?
4 o'clock. Yeah, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, yeah.
Straight up?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Okay, CY's coming up at 4:20. Our final conversation with the Rangers general manager of the season is 25 minutes away. Mark Schlereth at 4:40 and Eric Kendricks at 5. So we'll have back-to-back-to-back guests here. But coming up next, Chuck, where are we going?
Let's hear Marcus Spears calling out his thoughts on the Cowboys. Then we'll get into our top 10, the top 10 weird but delicious food combos. That's next in the Nation.